When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Mail checks, invoices, documents, and everything you need to keep your business running. Get rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS. And with the mobile app, you can take care of mailing on the go. Make the same no-brainer decisions as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up at Stamps.com with code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This is the In This League Fantasy Podcast Network. In This League Fantasy Baseball Podcast. Online at InThisLeague.com. Subscribe to the show on iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, and SoundCloud. Interact and follow the show on Twitter at InThisLeaguePod. Now, here's your hosts, Bogman and the Welsh.
What is up, my friendos? It is the In This League Fantasy Baseball Podcast with your neighborhood-friendly podcasters. A little bit overweight, a little bit tired, but a lot of funny and a lot of other stuff. It is Bogman and Welsh. That's Bogman. You can find him on Twitter at Bogman Sports. Find myself at Is It The Welsh. Bogman, I saw a poll on Twitter that was like, do you like your podcasts with a little banter at the top, or do you like them to get straight into the information?
Oh, and that was the voice they used.
That's
to ask
the voice.
Question?
It said, ladies and gentlemen, I have a question for you. Do you like banter at the top, or do you just want the info? What do you want?
I want banner at the top. I think that jumping straight into the info is, why don't I just go read an article? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, well, you know what jumping straight into the info is for? People that don't know how to entertain, or don't have good mic skills, or don't have anything fun to say, or are not fun people at all. That's what that is for.
Yeah, we would be on like you and I right now if we did no banter at the top at all. We would already be reading off rankings right now.
That's second, right. I mean, wow. In. Just think, if we were a better podcast, you could be hearing rankings right now, but you're not.
That's right.
So. We're here for that. I don't know. I just saw that and I was, I don't ever care about any of those anymore. And I always think those polls are funny because it's like, I'm not sure if you know if you're going to actually learn anything. You're just the people that hate banter at the top. Those are the people. And see, there's a distinct different crowd. And, that, and it's also it's a type of person, Bogman.
You people that don't like banter you at peoples, the top, you can get out.
The people that don't like banter, they're the ones that need to tell you about it. They're the ones that want to make sure the world knows, I don't like the banter.
11 minutes and 37 seconds before we got to the actual fantasy information.
5 minutes and you didn't even get into information. Those people want you to know that they don't like it, where everybody else in the world just moves on. And by the way, nothing happened to us. I'm just not.
I was going to say, did you take, like, are you getting personally offended by someone putting a poll out there? That's a new level of... being offended by it.
No, not at all. So. No, I mean, we haven't heard that complaint in a long time because you know what you get with us.
Well, we also haven't heard it in a long time because we don't check the ratings and reviews on iTunes.
Done with that. We are further along in our careers that we no longer have to look at the iTunes reviews. So if you do good things, good on you. If you do bad things, go F yourself and we won't see it and you won't be able to get us all worked up. Hey, by the way, this is Hell Week. As you can already tell, we're getting a little loopy. Second episode, only, Bogman, first episode of Hell Week, only an hour and a half that we dropped.
Yeah,
that's
I don't
all.
Know how we always do this. We always do this on these episodes. We're like, hey, you know, this may not actually be more than a normal week because if we make these shows an hour apiece, that's 5 hours, and we're usually doing an hour and a half, so it's just a little bit more. Nope. First show's 2 hours. Second show's 2 hours. Third show, we're dead. So.
Fourth show is pitchers, and it's like, well, we probably need to do 400 of them at least, so, and then we're extra dead. So it is Hell Week. Hell Week is where Bogman and myself do an episode every single day for you. That's what we do, and they are dedicated to the rank. So we did corner infielders, chopped it into one big episode of first baseman and then third baseman. We don't mix them up, so it's different talks in there, but it's a longer episode. Today, it's middle infield. Very, very important cast of characters and a lot of diversity across the board on what type of middle infield you want to have. You know, I mean, do you want power? You can have that. Do you want all speed? You can get that too. You can, nowadays, you can even get really bad batting average in the middle infield as well. So you got to be careful.
That's
about
available.
It's available to you right now. You can get your full construction kind of across the board, and that's what we're going to be breaking down for you here. If you guys want, you could follow along and check out the ranks over on patreon.com/ITL Army. We actually did a little bit of a mid-month update that's over there because there are some not fantastic little pieces of news and some other interesting ones. You know, we talked about it in the last episode with stuff like Chris Bryant moving to the leadoff and Nick Solak, who might be, you know, in some spots as a corner infielder, but will be playing in the outfield. There's some pitching news that was out there, the Luis Severino stuff. I mean, we'll talk about that in the starting pitcher episode, but I'm out. Like, I'm out, sucker. Like, give me shoulder fatigue with him. No, thank you. So that affected my ranks pretty heavily and just a lot of other stuff. So we've got some updated ranks that are up there right now on patreon.com/ITLArmy, and March 1st we'll have another update. One other fun thing, our comedy secret shows. We call it Talking, Speaking, Being a Person. That's our just whatever we want to ramble about show. And the last week one keeps killing me because not only was it great because it was this, we actually have kind of had like a little follow-up series of them. Usually they don't intertwine each other. And this was a follow-up email series, but I had pulled some clips from our old podcast from like 10 years ago, the Channel Cast. I think I briefly talked about this. And I told Bogman, I didn't tell him I was doing this because I did the show and it just came up. And after I posted the show, I said, hey, by the way, I did take a couple clips from Channel Cast and put them in. And Bogman doesn't get mad about stuff. And he said, what clip did you put? Tell me right now, what clip did you put? He's like, I'm getting sweaty. I'm getting hot. And I was like, don't worry about it. It's like totally fine. I told him about it. And then yesterday, we're on the phone, and Bogman goes, by the way, I listened to that episode because I couldn't remember what clip you said it was. And he's like, it's the
just
most
immediate,
embarrassing.
Immediate embarrassment. Like, it's not like it's from 20 years ago. It's from 10 years ago. It's a long time. But it's just, you know, mid-20s to mid-30s, you do a lot of growing, right? So I'm always kind of embarrassed to go back and listen, like, what was I saying back then? You know what I mean?
I pulled that clip, by the way, forever now. Like, I'm staring at the file right now. I could put it in the show right now if I want.
You better not. So
can I put like 3 seconds of it?
No, you cannot. Absolutely not. No. That. In fact, why don't you go ahead and delete it?
No.
Why don't you go ahead? I don't want that clip in again, anything ever, ever.
That's for my own personal bank.
Then you keep it to yourself, Flyboy. All right. No more unleashing it on the world. I am done with the Channel Cast. That is dead and over.
Well,
there's a reason it's gone. It's done.
We'll see if the world's done with it. But we had a fantastic show last week. Guess what? Brand new show up. You guys can get that. We do a couple a month. So if you sign up right now, you can get all the backlog. We've got over 70 of them, and we'll have some new ones into next month. But brand new secret show that you guys can check out right now, patreon.com/ITLArmy. For as little as $5, you get those shows, you get our ranks, and boy, do you support us. And you are supporting us, and we deeply appreciate it. And that is a way for you to say, hey, I dig what you guys are putting down. I see that. I dig what you're putting down. A lot of other cool stuff in the works. I got to tell you one story, and then we're going to get into this. So I went out to the Diamondbacks facility the other day, and all the guys are working out, and it's kind of a weird day. The guys are more spread out than usual. Usually they're kind of like intertwined to like these certain fields, and they move around. These guys are really spread out. So I'm just kind of walking around, just kind of getting the lay of the land, seeing some, you know, I like saw John Duplantier, who I know, and talked to him, and you know, just see a couple guys here and there. And then I see over on this, it's almost like this little tiny, like, you know, like what a kid's wiffle ball field would look like?
Yeah.
I mean, have you been to the backfields of the Diamondbacks?
Yeah. Okay. I had season tickets. I was there every day.
I just don't remember if you went to the backfields. You know that little field I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
So
isn't that where Will Ferrell landed his helicopter?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe one of them. Maybe.
Yeah.
But
I mean, there's tons of fields. I know what you're talking
about.
Because they do little league tournaments over there all the time.
Yeah. So. But this is a true, like, it's an infielder field. That's all that it is. There's no outfield to it. It's just the infield. And the infielders will come over here. They'll do catching drills. They'll do bunt drills for pitchers. And then the infielders will work. So I'm over there, and no one's really around. And I believe it was, it must have been Robbie Hammack, I think. Robbie Hammack, pretty sure. He was working with Christian Walker. And Christian Walker, they're working at first base and stuff like that. And Christian was, you know, went up to some fans and stuff. Then everyone kind of went out. And Walker is kind of walking over, and I just went, "Hey, Christian, can I talk with you for 1 second?" And he's going from the grass, and he steps onto where there's like some, it's a cement walkway, and he's like, "Yeah." And he does this kind of stop. Dude. Flies. No. Flies in the air on his ass and back. Just. And I
so
look,
you injured Christian Walker. Well, dude, now I know why you have him ranked so low at first. Dude. You're out there. What are you, Nancy Kerrigan with the pipe?
Dude.
What is your problem?
He fall, and it is right in front of me. And I just go, "Oh, no." And I put my hand out, and he just kind of sits there and looks at the ground, looks up, grabs my hand, and he looks me right in the eye, and he goes, "They just refinished this concrete here." I'm like, "All right." And then when he went away, this guy walks up behind me and he goes, "If Christian Walker ends up on the IL, I'm blaming you." So you might want to adjust your rankings on Christian Walker, up or down. He's a good sport with that stuff, but I felt so bad because I told the story a long time ago. Austin Beck, the prospect with the A's, he in his major league or his pro debut, he comes out of the dugout, is all pimped out, ready, has his glasses on, and he just tumbles. I couldn't look him in the eyes. I looked away. He tumbled three times over. His glasses went everywhere. He picked it up, looked around, and I was like, "Nope, not gonna look at you." I couldn't do it with Christian. He fell right in front of me, and I just put my hand out, helped him back up. And when he said, he's like, "Oh, just refinish this," I was done. I was like, "All right, I can't do this anymore." So I might want to readjust your Christian Walker ranks. If he does end up on the IL, that one guy is going to blame me for doing that.
Well, MLB The Show is going to lower his coordination ranking, I believe. So
that's right. Did you see they added minor leaguers?
If you're falling down, what do you say?
Did you see they added minor leaguers now? Like names, likenesses.
Really?
Oh, dude. I mean, like, I've always wanted MLB The Show. I've always wanted this, and I used to do this. MLB The Show has now, like, MLB in their contracts, they are licensing out minor leaguers to the game. Dudes are actually going in and getting scanned.
Jeez.
Yeah, like, all of the teams are going to have all the real players. So it's
That's pretty nice. I mean, hopefully, college football will work on that.
Kind of wish I had a I wish I had a listener that gave me a PS4 like they gave you. And then I also had MLB The Show like was given to you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just over here hurting the first baseman for the Diamondbacks.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, not like you haven't got stuff before. So, I mean, look, what do you want this PlayStation for? So it can collect dust at your house instead of at my house?
Well, now there's minor leaguers in there, so I could like simulate seasons and stuff.
Yeah, and would you?
I don't know.
I also have Red Dead. I haven't opened it. It's still in the box.
What a great gimmick that would be for us to have an ITL Twitch, and all I did were play the minor league games for Prospect One.
Oh,
that's a business right there.
Yeah,
who doesn't want that? I'll sit on, talk about prospects, play with their ratings and stuff like that. It's a new business. All right, let's get into the stuff. See that right there? That was the banter at the top.
Too much banter.
Too much banter. A little too
bad
much banter.
Bad iTunes rating.
All right, let's get into it. It's middle infield time.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's In This League.
It's got what plants crave. It's got electrolytes.
What are electrolytes? Do you even know? It's what
they used to make
in this league.
I'm the smartest guy in the world, says who?
The IQ test you took in prison, brought to you by Carl's Jr.
Friendos, if you guys are getting set with all your drafts and your league settings and everything, make sure to go check out our buddies over at officialfantasyrings.com. Get your league prize all set up. Use ITL20 at officialfantasyrings.com promo code to get you 20% off. Go get yourself hooked up like we are hooking up in our satellite leagues, listener leagues, entry leagues. There's a lot of rings on the line. And the Champs League. We just pulled the names in the draft order for a bunch of our leagues. So that's going to be starting up. I mean, I know we got TGFBI this week. Maybe next week or the week after we'll start up the ITL drafts. I am very stoked. Butt-sized, as they would say, Bogman.
Yeah, totally butt-sized. I mean, I'm ready to rock for actual real drafts. You know, the mock drafts are fun, and I did like that during the most recent mock draft, someone hit me up and said, I had no idea that I missed this magic moment drop until you put it in the most recent mock draft. So it was, I believe it was one of the times that you got sniped. I put in this magic moment.
Yeah, you love that. I mean, you know, I would say that, like, I really love that there is, like, this hardcore contingency of people out there that I assume they're year-long ITL people, but that's probably not even necessarily true. But there's something that hits a chord in our mock drafts with people. It's the anger. It's the, you know, it's just the, like, buddies, you know, hurting each other's feelings and laugh at each other just on the ground as they hurt. I mean, we even had, in TGFBI, had somebody tweeting at my competition being like, hey, you want to hurt Welsh's feelings? Listen to the TGFBI mock. Know exactly who he wants. And I was like, come on. Don't hurt my feelings. Let me have my guys. Please, let me have my guys. All right, let's talk about the stuff and things. Second base ranks for this season. Second base is a problem. It's, I don't know if you want to say it's not deep. I kind of feel like the bottom end of first base falls off, but at the same time, I mean, I'm looking at players that they're more statistically situational, like at the very bottom, not trying to jump ahead, but, you know, guys like Cesar Hernandez or Jonathan Scope, they both kind of fill different needs. Hernandez for speculative steals, Scope for speculative power towards the back end. There's players that didn't make it on our lists. At least let me make sure they didn't make it on yours. Yeah, there's some other big name players that you could speculate on. Robinson Cano, if he were to get that back together. I don't have Jose Peraza. I don't believe you do either.
No. You had to move him down because they signed Moreland, who's going to play first, which moves Chavez over to second. And then Peraza becomes a part-time player. I mean, he can play in the outfield. He can play second. But because they signed Moreland, he has to go by the wayside.
Yeah.
So.
And then you get, like, you know, Shed Long. Shed Long is going to get the second base run in Seattle this year, but they just don't make it. So, again, like, there are names and all of the guys. This is what is nice about this position. All of the guys, you know, if things are to click, like a guy like Shed Long, if it clicks, Shed could have 20 home run power. I mean, he's very similar to Asan Diaz.
We could walk out of the 2020 season. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Yeah,
but
you're good.
We could walk out of the 2020 season going, man, second base was actually pretty good. There was actually a lot of talent there. The problem is as far as you know, what I love is hole poking. As far as hole poking goes, it is just really easy to poke holes in a lot of these second basemen.
Yeah.
So once you get past, like, the top 15, 16, you know, maybe there's a couple sprinkling after that. But really, after the top 20, it gets ugly.
Like, so, let me put it like this. Similar to what we did with first base and third base, where we said first base, it's not great. Like, it really does fall off. You want to get in the top 10. There's other guys that you can deal with. But, like, it's not deep enough that your corner infield is going to be filled from that. I'd say the same thing about second base. Most likely your middle infield is not going to be filled by second base, where it will be shortstop, because you can get down to shortstop 18 and that guy is still a guy that you can put out as your starter, where 18 in second base, you know, you're starting to get into maybe more questionable territory. So you want to invest early. At least I do, because I've mentioned this many times, Boggs. Second base has been my crutch this year. You know, there's some guys at the top. I think probably, like, the top six or inside the top 35, maybe 40. But the top 10 are going to go inside the top 70. So it's possible, and this has happened to me in the early stuff we did, where I just get ahead of myself. You know, I get some really good bats. I get a couple pitchers. Then there's a couple bats that happen to have fallen that are good value. And then each time I'm like, okay, I really hope this guy falls. He doesn't. So then I move kind of through my tier, and I keep missing. And then you're in a spot where, like, you know, we did some early stuff where I only would get Kevin Biggio. That's all I would ever get was Kevin Biggio. Is that the worst thing in the world? No, especially if you follow Alex Chamberlain, who is apparently, Kevin Biggio is going to be his new Mike Tauchman. So there's there you can get away with it, and Biggio might be one of those good middle infield guys. I just don't necessarily want to live in that world because the top end of second base, there's some really, really good advantages. But we're jumping ahead here, so let's talk about what this bottom looks like. It's a lot of situational stuff. There's a couple guys that you can dream on. Bogman, you want to give your 30 to 21?
Yeah, starting at 30, I've got Cesar Hernandez from the Indians. Then I've got Nico Goodrum at 29, moving up to Jonathan Scope. Nick Senzel way down here at 27. Madrigal at 26. Brian McMahon at 25. Then Michael Chavis, Ronald Odor, Garrett Hampson at 22, and Kevin Newman at 21 to round out my second baseman.
Newman. At 20, I have got Asan Diaz, who I talked about just a little bit ago with the Marlins. Jonathan Scope at 29, Cesar Hernandez at 28, followed by Howie Kendrick. I did that just completely natural.
Howie Hendrick.
Moo. Colton Wong at 26, Nick Madrigal at 25, Chavis at 24, Brandon Lau at 23, Rugi at 22, and Garrett Hampson at 21. Garrett Hampson, by the way, that's the player that you can dream on if you want a dream is a dream. He had one of the most amazing Septembers. Like, if you were in a playoff run and you had Garrett Hampson, you were able to acquire him in some capacity, and you were just heavy in your run. I mean, this dude in September/October, there were 23 games. He hit 5 homers with 9 stolen bases in that month. So to put it in perspective, the guy as a whole stole 15 bases with 8 homers. He had more than half of his production into 1 month. So you can look at that in two different ways. You can go, that's an anomaly because that dude couldn't hit over 250 and was averaging about 230. I mean, yeah, he had a first half 200 batting average. He was trash. And then he really popped off, and his entire statistical measures are carried by that 1 month. So there's literally two ways you can look at it, that's where he's stepping into this year, or it's a complete anomaly. But if he were to be given the full go and the full playing time, I mean, this is a guy, this is like a Trey Turner light. That's how he performed in September. But I think consistency is his biggest problem. A spot in the lineup is also his biggest problem. So I'm willing to speculate, but I won't go bonkers. We both have him higher than Fantasy Pros, where he's the 24th second baseman. I have him at 21. You have him at 22.
I'm kind of surprised that we have him ahead, because I feel like Hampson is just not a guy that I'm going to own in many drafts. And this is the problem that I've had in mocks, is with this position at second base, actually getting it, filling it out correctly. I just think that Hampson, you know, it's one of those things. It's like I said at the top when we were talking about this, we could come in and say, man, second base is super deep because Hampson wound up with the starting job. He's going to qualify at second. He plays all over the place and he gets you those stolen bases. And he was going off really, really high in the beginning of NFBC drafts because he helped so many people win championships last year. But he's still just not guaranteed everyday playing time.
Yeah.
Is he going to get playing time? We, of course, think so. But that's why, you know, also we have Ryan McMahon down here knocked down a little bit. Ryan McMahon can play multiple positions as well, but
and he's currently slotted as their second baseman.
Right. He's the current starter at second base, but how much is Hampson going to eat into his playing time too?
Yeah.
So it makes both these guys kind of difficult to take and, you know, as a starter on your team. If you want to speculate, I'm okay with that. But I don't think I could grab Garrett Hampson or Ryan McMahon as my starting second baseman or middle infielder and be comfortable about it at all.
I think there's a couple guys in this territory, and this is what's nice about, I would say, 21 to 30. This is how I view it, is there are speculative stolen bases to be had. Cesar Hernandez might be one of the safest, cheapest options you could have out there. Second baseman for the Indians. They like to run. He likes to run. He could be hitting near the top of the lineup. That one could be a game-changing payoff. Garrett Hampson applies there. I want to talk about Rugi in a second. He applies there. Madrigal and Colton Wong. Like, Colton Wong, I think, might be someone, as I look at this, I might be a little bit too low on. I know Justin was really in on him. I think Justin Mason in our mock took him, like, in the top 200. You have him way up here at 18. But there's a lot of speculative stolen bases. So what I think you can do with this is these are not starters by any means. They shouldn't be. Even in 15-mans, like, you don't want to get down to this. But you could be staring at these guys and bump them up when you realize you're behind in stolen bases. Like, I would be more aggressive on speculating on Hampson or Cesar Hernandez or Colton Wong. I mean, that's why Colton Wong probably needs to go up a little bit. So there's kind of a categorical thing you can play with.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. And, you know, the reason why I have Hampson ahead of Cesar Hernandez, because like you said, I think Hernandez might actually be safer than Hampson, right? I mean, I think he's going to take his gig.
Like, unless they had a third baseman. I'm trying to think of, like, they just don't have one rostered right now unless Christian Arroyo appeared amazing again or Yu Chang or something. They just don't have someone that's going to take that third base job who could also fill in at second, because Ramirez could go to second, but then who's going to play third? So just, he kind of seems locked.
Right. So, like you said, very safe. So if I'm sitting there without a starting middle infielder or second baseman, I may still take Cesar Hernandez over a Garrett Hampson if I have to get an everyday guy. But I'm assuming that if I'm drafting out of this pool that I've filled my starters in, because that's kind of the strategy I want to go in with second base, I want to get one early so I don't have to do all this nonsense and play this guessing game with these guys at the bottom. So I'm more willing to take Hampson after I've gotten starters, to make sure that I have some guys to speculate on.
And if you want to know, the projections are pretty interesting with both of these guys. With Garrett Hampson, only two systems have him playing over 100 games. That's ATC, who is pretty solid on him. 9 homers, though, with 20 stolen bases, a .271 batting average in 116 games. Zips really loves him, 129 games with 9 homers and 28 stolen bases, where the bat, only 6 homers and 13 stolen bases. So, I mean, you can understand where, like, the variance is with Garrett Hampson. If Hilliard doesn't work out and they wanted Hampson to be in the outfield, that's something to watch during spring training. If he got an extended look there, that's something to consider. But, you know, he's still have a question mark. This is kind of a fun oddity, and I wonder where this would go. None of the systems really believe Cesar Hernandez is going to steal a ton of bases anymore. I mean, he only stole 9 last year and a bunch of playing time with the Phillies. But before that, you know, 19, 15, this year, the bat has him at 8. ATC has him at 11. Zips has him at 13, but a really good batting average and pretty solid runs. So the upside is with Hampson, and maybe the floor is a little bit overblown comparative to, like, a guy like Colton Wong, you know, who Wong really changed his stolen game marker last year, where he stole 24 bases. And most projections want to have him 15-plus, but he's a 15-15 guy that you can't get anywhere else. So that's why, like, the more I look at this, I think I need to adjust. Talk to me about Brandon Lau. I've had a couple people tell me, why don't you like Brandon Lau? And that's all that it says. Like, I seem to be the one that's kind of down on him. I'm not sure I'm a crazy, crazy believer in the batting average that he put together. His power seemed pretty real, but all systems ago have him essentially as a 245, 249 with about 24 homers and just a handful of stolen bases this year and 77 marker. Like, that's like 70-ish runs, 70-ish RBIs. That's kind of not bad for a middle infielder that you and I are really kind of behind on.
I don't know that I'm as low as you are on him. I have him at 20 overall. So, look, he's one of the few guys in Tampa Bay that's not platooning, right? So he.
Well, you say that though. You say that, and you know, they still got Joey Wendell in there. Like, I wonder.
Wendell blows. So I'm not worried about Joey Wendell at all. I understand what you're talking about. Like, traditionally, the Rays have. They have platoon guys. So if he struggles, so he absolutely has the opportunity to get platoon. But this is why there's tons of holes in second base, is because I'm not really confident on Brandon Lowe, but he's still a top 20 player at Lau, whatever his stupid ass name is. I don't respect him enough to pronounce his name correct, apparently, but I do like him. And you know what? I actually might move Kevin Newman ahead of him a little bit. I just think the Rays lineup is better. He should score a ton of runs. But Kevin Newman last year, he played 130 games, hit 300, he hit 12 bombs, stole 16 bases, and he's going to hit leadoff probably for the Pirates or close to leadoff. You know, maybe Jerod Dyson hits leadoff and he hits second. He'll hit at the top of the lineup. And I like Kevin Newman a little bit more. He qualifies at second. So I may move him ahead of Brandon Lau. But I don't mind Brandon Lau, even though I just don't understand why people are putting him at 15. Is he really better than Biggio? Is he really better than Wong or, Gurriel or Lux? I don't think so. I wouldn't put him there.
Two other things I just want to comment on. These are guys that I think I'm going to own some shares of. One is Nick Madrigal. I believe I am one of those high dogs again. I'm not the highest in the world. Someone has him at 21 at second base. The Fantasy Pros average is 38. I have him at 25 because I just don't see how he doesn't even. I kind of think he's going to win the job out of camp. Like, they come to terms with him. You know, they bought out essentially Luis Robert. This is a win now mode. Their second base is trash. They haven't brought anybody else really in. I think Madrigal's come into camp thick. He's coming in thicker, man. More power, more muscle. So watch for that best shape of his life. So I think he could break camp with them, and if not, he could come up soon. And, you know, if you want to go to projections, I think projections are way light on his power still. And he's not a big dude. He's like, 5 foot nothing. Like, I think they list him at 5'7". That's generous. Maybe he's now a 175 or something like that. The guy has 10 homer power, which I know that's not screaming at everybody, but there's also 30 stolen base potential.
It's better than
taking
a donut. Yeah, and that's the thing is, when you're keeping pace at power, you can't really afford to take guys that are zero homer.
He's
guys,
one of
which
the,
are rare in the bigs anymore anyway.
He is one of the most patient hitters I've ever seen in my life, and for you guys to get a perspective of it, last year in AAA he played 29 games. He had a 9.7% walk percentage, a 3.7% K percentage. In AA, he played 42 games the same year, 7.8 walk, 2.8 K, literal exact same walk to strikeout in advanced A. So he went three levels last year. The guy, he doesn't strike out. He doesn't walk that much because he makes contact. He hit 331. So he does, he just waits for his pitch, finds it, and goes. So this is a guy at the back end of the order that could play as that like second leadoff guy. I'm very, very much into Nick Madrigal because I think he's a payoff, especially in like maybe deeper hold and draft type of things. But Rougui Odor is the other one. Positive regression, or I guess however you want to look at it. He hit 30 homers last year. Most systems have him at about 28. But they have his average coming back up to somewhere between 225, 230, which isn't great. But this is like a 30-15 guy at second base. So he's one of those high upside. If the average comes back, his counting stats are stupid. They're really stupid. He's still not an OBP option personally. But if I had to pick
two
players in this 21 to 30 area for me is Madrigal and Odor, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I like Madrigal, too. I probably won't get him in many spots. But, Newman, probably, if I'm looking for a starter here, if I'm looking to speculate, for me, it's Garrett Hampson. So
okay, makes a lot of sense.
That's what I would do here.
20 to 11, I have got Gavin Lux at 20, Ryan McMahon at 19, Lourdes Gurriel at 18, followed by Tommy Edman. Nixon Zell is in there, though. Does Nixon Zell qualify at second anywhere?
He doesn't, but he has. He qualifies in Yahoo, I think, and he's listed on Fantasy Pros as a second baseman. So I threw him in here because there's if he does wind up playing infield somewhere, that there's a possibility for him to get second base. Yeah, but
he's not
probably not.
We're not going to talk about him in this episode because I don't really think he's there. But that's fine that we put him in there. Danny Santana at 15, Kevin Biggio at 14, Eduardo Escobar at 13. Mike Moustakas at 12 and Jeff McNeil at 11.
I've got Brandon Lau, the aforementioned, at 20. Gavin Lux at 19. Colton Wong at 18. Gurriel at 17. Biggio at 16. Tommy Edman at 15. Danny Santana at 14. Mike Moustakas at 13. Eduardo Escobar at 12. And Jeff McNeil at 11.
I don't love this range. There's not a lot of love. The guy that you know, I was telling you I ended up a lot with over across the board was Kevin Biggio. What's really fascinating about Biggio just for a minute here is look at Biggio's projections. Let's just take the bat for a minute. 138 games, 20 homers, 10 stolen bases with a .228 batting average. Do you want to know who's projected to be better than that? Rougned Odor. And Odor is going 7 second base spots lower. Biggio has an ADP of 135. Odor has a .221. So Biggio is such an odd prospect because, like, it's actually amazing seeing his K percentage because the guy, I've literally seen this guy not take the bat off of his shoulder before in the AFL. He waits for his pitch. He has high walk numbers, but he also has high K numbers because he's aggressive on the swing. He's a lot like Carlos Santana. He can run and he can hit, but he's got to make good contact to be really, really relevant. So I kind of think Biggio's being a little bit overrated. Like, I'm no longer comfortable having Biggio be my last bastion of second base. I know Alex Chamberlain is very, very, very world high on him right now and, you know, wants to sing at the rooftops about him. And there's a lot to be excited about with him. He's a power speed combo, but I think there's enough to be worried about, at least at cost, that it's like, you know, I'm not going to be like, well, you know, I could Jeff McNeil at 100, or I could wait 3 rounds to get Biggio. Like, I'm going to be terrified if I'm in that situation because I think that batting average is a big albatross where if I want to get into that mess, Bogman, I'll just go 70 picks later and take Rougned Odor.
Yeah, man. I mean, you know, you get kind of to a tier once you hit the Moustakas Escobar line, right? For me, anyway. Once you get to Escobar, Moustakas, I have that order. You have Moustakas, Escobar. I think anyone under that, it's just easy to poke holes in. Biggio, he's young, you know, all the stuff that you mentioned, not really feeling safe with him as a starter going into the season. With Colton Wong, we've seen him been terrible before. Gavin Lux is going to be his first year in the bigs. Brandon Lau.
And Lux isn't just like not a great place in the lineup. Like, I'm really torn on Lux.
Yeah, well, he hits low, but I think there's potential for him, especially with the way they're looking at platooning the outfielders. If he starts hitting really well.
Yeah, he's got such a good bat.
To move him up in the top of the lineup. And if he gets up there, then he's worth a ton. Once again, this is why I say we could look back at the end of the year and go, man, there are tons of second basemen. And next year it goes in as one of those positions where you can wait to take because there's so many good ones. Or we could go, man, it was really bad after the top 10. There was nobody. You know, with Colton Wong, it's you like those stolen bases and the power potential, but let's see him repeat it. Brandon Lowe in a bad spot. Tommy Edmund, repeatability. Like, it's all of this stuff, and it's really all after that line. I like everyone. I want to get my starting second baseman in the top 13 only. Some of these guys can be okay.
You like Lourdes a lot, don't you?
Lourdes is okay, but he's first of all, he's not going to qualify in some leagues at second. This is another Fantasy Pros bit, a lot like Senzel, so he might get time.
In Yahoo, he qualifies at second and outfield, by the way.
And outfield.
That's
okay.
Pretty nice.
So he doesn't qualify. Gurriel's fine. I don't think that I'm in love with him, but his numbers, especially when he came back up last year, were very, very good. So I do like Gurriel a little bit, but I'm not like, you know, I'm not obsessed with him by any stretch of the imagination. So I really, really, really want to get my starter in that top 13 because I don't want to mess with the hole poking ability of the rest of these guys. They're too easy to poke holes in.
Yeah, I mean, and Lourdes came back down to earth, you know, .235 in the second half after hitting .300 in the first half. You know, the rookie wall kind of takes place. And I've never been if I had to go pure talent, I like Biggio more than Lourdes Gurriel from like a pure talent standpoint, but I think they're both relative question marks. I think you said it the best just overall that, you know, the top 13 is where you want to live. Like, there's some names you can get down with. Lux is one I kind of dig. Danny Santana in the super utility role could be fine, but like Eduardo Escobar, we both love him. Everybody wants him to regress. That's fine, but he's still a big power potential. But Mike Moustakas, buddy-o. Mike Moustakas is where I get all hot and bothered if I miss out on second base. If you don't get Max Muncy, You don't get your Max Muncy of the 76 pick. Just take original Max Muncy 30 picks later at like 103. He's the 11th second baseman on NFBC, and he is a huge, huge, huge power potential. One of those that actually almost kind of breaks the projection things where everyone sees what he did last year and everyone's like, more. He's projected more homers, more RBIs, more runs, a better batting average, which we don't see, especially from a place like Steamer. But I mean, Zips has him at 270. No system has him less than 33 homers. You know, there's a couple handful of stolen bases. Mike Moustakas might be one of the better values at second base as a whole, because like second base number 7 and up, that's like a top 50 cost. We talked about Moncada, who is like in the 60s. Muncy's in the 70s, so now you have to decide between like McNeil and Moustakas. I think Moustakas might be the best value at second base this year for huge, big power.
I love Moustakas, and it's just like, why is he going 30 picks after Muncy when, you know, he does a lot of the same stuff? You know what I mean? Muncy hit 251 with 35 homers, 98 RBI last year. Moustakas, guess what? 35 homers, hitting 254 with 87 runs. And he's going to hit the middle of that lineup. I mean, the lineup around Muncy is better. I get it. But I don't think the 30 picks makes a lot of sense. Can I convince you? Can I try to convince you on Eduardo Escobar over Moustakas real quick?
Over Moustakas.
Over Moustakas.
Sure.
Well, he hit 15 points higher than Moustakas did, 269 to 254 last year.
Okay.
And he's probably going to be hitting third for the Diamondbacks, most likely, which means he is going to be driving in Starling Marte and Ketel Marte.
Marte
behind him. I know it's guys that you don't like. It's David Peralta.
Nope.
It's no balance Christian Walker. I understand that.
Cole Calhoun.
you like the guys behind Suarez better. It's or behind Moustakas, because it's probably going to be Castellanos and then, you know, whoever else at that point. Maybe Aquino some days, Winker some days. But in front of him are Akiyama and Votto and a banged up Suarez. It seems like there's just going to be tons and tons and tons of opportunity for Eduardo Escobar to drive.
I think that's the case. But, you know, Cincinnati is probably even a more hitter-friendly place. I think Escobar is going to come down to earth. But I don't like how everybody, because everyone writes about Eduardo Escobar as like, you know, top 10 bust of the year. And Eduardo Escobar is on there. And it's like, he's not going to be a bust, dude. Like, he's a guy that hit 35 homers last year. Was it overinflated? Maybe relative to him. So, you know, because if you want to technically look at it, he's on a 4-year uptick where he's beaten his home run total every single year. But 4 years ago, it was 6, and he's up to 35 now. So if you want to follow the projections and you come down into the 28 marker, are you going to tell me that a dude that is projected with the same batting average, probably most of the same counting stats, but has 7 less homers at pick 115 is going to be a bust? No, dude, it's not. He's not at all. I think he's going to return value. You're not paying hey, Ketel Marte, you got to pay a premium for. What's that different between Marte and Escobar if Marte can't maintain the batting average? Not that much. So I'm cool with Eduardo Escobar. I will take that as a consolation prize, but Mike Moustakas to me is a floor 35 home run player in Cincinnati. The batting average differences between them aren't significant enough to warrant to be, it's, this isn't like a 290 hitter and a 250 hitter. It's like 260, 250. So I'm firm Moustakas over Eduardo Escobar, but I'll take it as a consolation prize.
All right. I tried, couldn't get it done. I don't think Escobar is going to drop nearly as much in power. And I think the guys hitting in front of him are really, really
good. Where do you
think
he's going to sit?
I think he's probably going to hit around 270, probably around 28 to 30 homers, somewhere in that neighborhood, and drive in a ton of runs with Marte, with both the Martes in front of him. And I also like Peralta and Walker, and you don't. So I think that is really the sticking point between these guys, because if you say, you know, I don't think Escobar is going to lose as much power as everybody else does, that puts him in the 25 to 29 range, somewhere in that neighborhood, maybe not quite getting the 30. But if you think Moustakas is a floor 35 bomb guy. I don't think he is. I think that he's probably going to hit close to 30 again. I don't know that his floor is 35.
I mean, over the last 3 years, he's averaged, rough math in my head, it's probably about 33. I mean, he's had two of the last three years, they've been 30 home run seasons, and two of those, it's 35 plus. So 38 in 2017, 28 in 2018 between two teams, and 35 last year. So, I mean, he's a floor mid-30s homer guy. He doesn't even strike. He strikes out under 20% of the time. He maintains his power, and he lets it fly. And guess what? Now you're in Cincinnati, where it's really going to fly. Like, I think it's as comparable to Milwaukee as anything. So, you know, give me the 35 homers. Doesn't matter, by the way, if I have a bunch of power or if I'm needing it. He fits all those categories. You want to go talk about the top 10?
Yeah, just real quick, though, I do think it's funny that I was way higher on McNeil in, what were you doing, third base yesterday, and we have him at 11 and second base.
Yeah, we're the same. this is the range. As I said before, he's only a second baseman in this respect. And to be frank, the more I look at this, I mean, McNeil's got a lot of batting average upside. I'm more likely to take Moustakas.
I understand that. He's just like 60 points better. Like if you think if you think he can get to the mid 20s and homers again, you almost have to take him over Moustakas and Escobar.
And McNeil's like for Roto and stuff. Like if you've got a lot of your power already, like McNeil really helps bring you back with the batting average. So it's something to consider.
100%.
Give me your top 10.
Top 10, I go Max Muncy from the Doyers at 10. Then I've got Yoan Moncada at 9. DJ LeMahieu at 8. Whit Merrifield at 7. Hira at 6. Ozzy Albies at 5. Ketel Marte at 4. VR at 3. Altuve at 2. And Gleyber Torres at number 1.
Very nice. So I have got Max Muncy at 10. Yoan Moncada at 9. DJ LeMahieu at 8 also. Then I go Keston Hira, John VR, Whit Merrifield at 5. Jose Altuve at 4, Ozzy Albies at 3, Ketel Marte, Partey at 2, and Gleyber Torres at 1. So there's a lot of stuff in here. Max Muncy, I almost talked myself into a circle because like I really like the idea of Max Muncy, but Moustakas truly is just a different version of Max Muncy, and he's cheaper. But Muncy is going to be one of the best, most powerful offenses that are out there. So I'm into him. Moncada, we've already talked about. We've talked about LeMahieu in the other episodes, even though this is more representative of where you would want them. But Keston Hira, I'm actually shocked that you have Keston Hira above me. And I'm shocked that I have Whit Merrifield above you. So I don't know what world we're living in where this is happening. But Keston Hira is like 100% one of those middle infielders. Like this is one of the top middle infielders I think I'm going to own, because it's, you really have to get placed correctly to be able to get Ozzy Albies or Altuve or, Whit, you could probably get solid. But like what ends up happening is VR gets taken because someone's back on stolen bases. They're kind of backpedaling. And I want Hira for the 30-15 with, decent batting average numbers and middle of the lineup. I believe way more in his hitting ability than what his rookie season showed. People see 30% K percentage, a 400 BABIP, and they just think this guy is going to completely, just falter. This guy's built on contact. Out of college, he was viewed as the number one contact bat, the best bat in. Came out here in Milwaukee, and I've seen him from instructs to win the AFL award into the majors. And he has an incredible knack and timing to make contact. This is going to be a guy that he's going to be better than a 250 hitter in his career. He's not going to be a 250 hitter. This is a guy that's going to push 280 to 290, and he has got 30 home run potential with a huge, powerful swing, and he steals bases.
Yeah, man. And like, I don't understand why he's some people view him as very low. I mean, he stole 9 bases in 84 games last year. I know that's not like the top upper echelon of his game. It's more he's a contact hitter. But would you be shocked to see him steal 15 bases and hit 25 bombs?
No, I'm not remotely close. And guess what? Most of the systems are kind of with that. Like the bat's the one that wants to destroy his batting average. Everybody else, 270s, low to mid 270s. The bat is at 258. But regardless of that, every single system, 10 plus stolen bases, 25 plus homers. That's the lowest the lowest margin you see is 25 homers, 11 stolen bases. That's a pretty decent floor. Like, my only question becomes, how does he change and react in his sophomore season? Like, you know, is he going to make the proper adjustments? Is the league going to get ahead of him? We didn't, kind of similar to the same arguments I made with Tatis and Jordan Alvarez, you know, those guys in like half season stints were so successful, they didn't get to see adversity. Saw some adversity, but not enough. So I'm curious how he's going to react to it. But, you know, pick 60, you know, he's going like the 60s, 70s at second base. Like, if I miss out on Ozzy, I'm going to get myself Keston Hira this year.
And I wanted to put him ahead of Ozzy, but when you look at the BABIP on these two guys and the K rate, I do have to go, well, Ozzy's just much better at that stuff.
Yeah.
And he has experience. So you have to put Ozzy ahead of him for sure. But I don't know, man. I just think Keston Hira is great. And when you talk about the fact of how is he going to react in his sophomore year, I think what a lot of people, the people that rank him high, are banking on. And, you know, I mean, I'm only one spot ahead of you, so it's not like I'm way ahead of you on this dude. But I think that it's the pedigree. And you just mentioned him. You know, you saw him in the AFL winning awards. He's been a great minor league ball player with an awesome track record. So I think that's kind of where pedigree comes in to, you know, these players. And this is why we don't trust the weird breakout guys like Aquino, who's had not even that much success at the AAA level and then comes onto the scene in the bigs and destroys, and you have less trust of him after that because you're like, how is he going to be able to do something like this because he doesn't have pedigree, and that's what Hira has. So I'm all in, man. I want to get him this year, but I really want one of these top four guys for sure.
Yeah, you know, now one person I'm curious I want to see, did we mistakenly not, well, I guess not, was Javi Baez, because Javi Baez, I'm noticing we don't have any here, but
he only played short last year.
But he was only short. Was there talk of second that was going to happen this year? Because it's funny because in like Steamer projections, he shows up at second base under their projection system. Because I was going to say there's not many big power second basemen in there, but he shows up. But yeah, okay. So let's move on from him. The stolen base markers, VR is the biggest get. He's going to actually be playing some center field. So that's kind of an added bonus, you know, a guy that'll be in the outfield getting his playing time that qualifies in there. I'm just not super aggressive because, I don't know, I don't have a big belief. But here's my problem. A guy that I believe in his hit tool more is Whit Merrifield, much more. But his stolen base numbers, they're coming down, and they came down significantly last year. And I haven't come to a determination, is that Was last year the anomaly, or is this the new norm? Is he now going to be, is he going to stop running as much? Is he a mid 20 stolen base guy where he's coming off of, you know, 17 and 18 combined? He had 79 stolen bases those 2 years. He had 20 last year. He's not as valuable if he's a 15-20 guy. He's just not, I would, under that circumstance, if you believe he's a 15-20 guy, then you should take Keston Hira all day, every day over Whit Merrifield. It shouldn't be a question. If you believe Witt is still 30 stolen bases in there, then that's where you could have him above. And that's why I've got Witt one marker above. But I don't know. I think I need to dig a little bit more in if those stolen bases are going to go away, because Kansas City loves to run. It's just they got other guys that can do it now.
Right. Yeah. I mean, they've got Mondesi and guys like that. But I still think running is going to be a big part of their game because they need to create runs. But it's the same deal with Miami as well, with the Marlins and VR needing to create runs at the top of that lineup. And I just think VR has higher end potential. So I have him ranked well ahead of Merrifield because I think he's going to be in the 40 stolen base range again.
You know, what's interesting about us? I didn't even like really put it together. We have... This might be the only position we have an eclectically different top seven.
Yeah, like, we really do.
It's all over the board. Like, you have Altuve at two. I have him at four. I think, you know, could they run more? Yes. Should we be concerned about all the stuff that's following them? I think it's legitimate. And Dusty already talked about it the other day. Dusty likes to play these guys like 150 games, you know? So if you can automatically know you're taking 10 off, and if he might even sit a little bit more... I'm not as positive that Altuve is a can't miss anymore. And that's why, like, Ozzy's, you know, 20 and 10, maybe 25 and 15, if I'm optimistic, I'm positive about. I'm hoping Cattell might even run a little bit more this year. He's a big power guy. I think he's going to still make contact. I would rather take my chances on Marte and Albies than I would invest highly in Altuve. And then Gleyber Torres, I've actually moved down a little bit more because I love the power numbers. I don't know if the high-end power is sustainable, but like I look at him and I'm trying to figure out like why would I pay a second-round price when I can get similar-ish stats? Like maybe it's not quite on the top end, you know, a little bit later into Marte or Albies or even Keston Hira. So I think I'm going to skip, even though like I have tier one. Tier one for me is 5 second baseman. It's Torres to Merrifield. But tier two is 6 to 11. So I've only got two tiers of second baseman in my top 11. And I'm actually going to add Moustakas to that. So that's 12 are in those tiers. And I have to own one of them. I just don't see why the separator, why Gleyber Torres separates me from having to make the cost. So unless he falls, I just don't think I'm going to own shares.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same way. Like, I really like Torres. We both have him as the top second baseman here, which is not the case. Most people have Altuve as the number one second baseman, according to Fantasy Pros. So we're a little bit higher on Torres than the group think, but I don't think I've wound up with him in one mock draft that we've done. I think I might have wound up with him in a best ball.
I did it once. Yeah, I did it once.
But that's it. So while I do like taking my second baseman high, I think there are other guys that will provide you just as many homers and a better batting average at a different position than Gleyber Torres. So he's going high kind of based on the scarcity of this position of second base. And I'm not willing to pay that high a price. But if somebody like, you know, Altuve falls a little bit, we're both high in on Marte. I'm kind of surprised you have him at two, you know, even over Altuve. But I guess if you're legit,
I'm just down on Altuve this year. But I don't know. I'll bet
he's probably going to get drilled a bunch, dude. And that's going to, you know, I don't blame you at all for that.
I'll bet you our overall is not that different, though. It's not that crazy different on Marte. Like, I may have Marte way up, but I push those guys down. But the big key to step away from this is, man, we went long on second base, is the big key is making sure you find your investment. So am I likely to have Torres, Marte, Albies, and Altuve? I think it's actually less likely because that is a spot where I'm trying to get my big power. None of those guys are big power, big speed, anything like that. So I'm more, I mean, Torres is big-ish power. I'm more likely to be investing in pitching and big power bats while we're here. So that's why guys like Merrifield to VR to Hira make more sense to me. And then frankly, if I can get, if I've bombed out on it, I will target Moustakas or get him as a middle infield. And I think we both agree, you know, tier one is fun, but I'm probably going to live in my tier two second baseman, but I have to have one of those guys.
Yeah. I got top 13 really is what I really, really want in all my drafts.
Shortstops. Let's go.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I know how you're feeling right now.
Stop it. Don't do that.
I'm here for you.
Oh. In this league.
You are too easy.
Shortstop ranks. Now, this position feels deeper. And it's
it is.
I mean, it is deeper. It gets a little tropey. You know, everyone wants to argue everything. Everyone's like, it's deeper, but it's not done. Okay, like we get it. Like any position, guys, we understand the starters, like second base, frankly. You know, I'm looking at this. The starters, though, in shortstop, they go much deeper. I mean, Jesus. I mean, you legitimately can go 18 deep as a starter. And then the depth levels off, but there's still some incredible names that are put in here. Some that I bury a little bit, but there's some really awesome guys that you can own that are going to fit different qualities and standards. So let's just jump right into it. I'll give you my 30 to 21. I've got Nico Goodrum at 30, Royce Lewis at 29, Carter Kieboom at 28, followed by Willy Adames, Dansby Swanson, John Birdie, Paul DeJong, Amed Rosario, Gene Segura, and Didi Gregorius.
For me, I've got Nick Ahmed at 30, then Dansby, Nico Goodrum, Willie Adames, Carter Kieboom, Corey Seager, Kevin Newman at 24, Gene Segura, Jorge Polanco at 22, and Scott Kingery at 21.
You see me throwing a little bit of Royce Lewis in there.
Yeah, I was curious on, you know, Royce Lewis, when he comes up, going to qualify at short because that's where he was drafted. Is that what he's going to do in the bigs? He's going to play short?
I don't think so.
He's going to play outfield?
I don't think that's going to be the case. This is wild. Steamer doesn't know how to project him at all. Steamer has zero game.
Well, he's not ranked on Fantasy Pros.
Zips has got him at 132 games, though.
Woof. Okay. Yeah.
But here's what I like about Royce. First off, added 22 pounds of muscle in the offseason. That's a good check. Dominated. Came off a really bad season last year. You know, if you followed me, you know, I interviewed him and talked to him about that. He had some injuries that really held him back. Everything was pushed back. And he just struggled. And he came into the AFL and he just wrecked shop. He ended up hitting like 380. He won the MVP award out here. All positive signs on his swing. All the, you know, prospect scouts and everybody looking at him. The swing was back. His timing was good. He's added more loft for power. He can run. And then here's the other thing that he did. Added versatility. They said, as he told me, you know, they didn't have a spot for him at shortstop out here. So he could just go home or he could add some other positions. He did. He came out in the AFL. He played second base, third base, and outfield. Even in center field, he made some amazing catches. So here is what I like about Royce Lewis. Royce should be, I don't think he breaks camp or anything like that. Like, I don't have the wherewithal to know that. But Royce is the type of guy, because of that versatility, that can get him in sooner rather than later if, A, there's a struggle with a Byron Buxton or a Luis Arraez, or if there's an injury. This is a guy that can come in. He's familiar, good enough in all those positions, and he's kind of an offensive force. He's a power-speed combo. So, again, you have to use your team accordingly and know your drafting habits and how your league works. But if you have the ability to roster Royce Lewis and not play the fab game, I would do that. And that's why I have him ranked inside my top 30.
So here's my concern with Royce Lewis and why I don't have him on my list is because he's still not on the 40-man roster. So they have to cut someone to add him in there.
That's
too.
A great point.
So I'm with you. And look, some of these guys can go. It's not going to, if he performs well in spring training and they really feel like they need to get him in the lineup, he'll be there. You know what I mean? So I'm not that worried about that. I just don't know when he's going to get called up. We played the guessing game with a bunch of guys. So it's very, like Welsh mentioned, it's very league specific. You want to do that. You want to take your risk on Royce Lewis, especially if you're drafting earlier rather than later. You want to take him in a league with deep, deep benches or an NA spot if you would have that. So something along those lines. I can't put him on my top 30 list yet, but I can imagine that at the end of the year, he's probably
he's strictly a bench player. This is a marker to, you know, I mean, sometimes we just don't know what these teams are going to do. I would speculate he's a guy you can get at the very end of your draft. And if he doesn't get out of camp or something like that, or there's no positive words, you just cut his ass. And that's what you do. But I'd love to not be in the fab fighting game for him because I think of where he is talent-wise. There's a bunch of other interesting names in here. I think the tiers, they kind of change. There's some, like Carter Kieboom, where do you have him? You have him at 26, I'm at 28. He's vying for the third base job, qualifies at shortstop, and he's got just a really good, powerful swing, makes good contact, struggled in his major league appearance, but went back down and was fine. I mean, is there any of these lower guys before we talk about like 21 through the little next upper players or any of these guys you really love? You still love, I mean, we loved Willie Adames for one time, but that kind of went away. You back on a Dansby Swanson, any of these guys?
Well, look, I mean, I think the big difference between short and second is when I said top 13 at short or at second for short, I would say I'm good up to 23, up to Gene Segura. I'm good with any of these guys being my starting shortstop here. So I'm really good all the way up to Gene Segura. You know, Kevin Newman, more of an MI than a starting shortstop. I'm never going to be a Seager fan, so I have him low. Guys,
yeah,
he's too injured.
I didn't even realize. Like when I was like, yeah, I don't see a whole lot of markers to identify. Fantasy Pros average rank is 18. The lowest human being has him as the 29th shortstop, and Bogman came in pretty close at 25.
Let me just blind play you on this guy here real
I'm
quick.
I'm sure it'll be the other guy.
we got one guy that hit 280, another guy that hit 272, 82 runs to 79, 12 homers to 19. That's a big difference. 60 RBI to 87. That's a big difference here, but 10 swipes to 1 for Seager. That's the difference between Segura and Seager. I'm taking those swipes.
Who is it? Oh, Segura. You were going against him. Yeah.
Yeah. Give me those swipes over those, you know, whatever, 7 extra homers. Plus, I mean, Segura, we've seen more power out of him. So I would not be surprised to see him hit more than 12 this year. So
I mean, we've only seen it once. Like you say that. We saw it with the Diamondbacks where he hit 20. Otherwise, he averages 11.
Yeah. Well, I'm still taking the swipes. Even if he hits 12, I think that's better than Seager's 19. And Seager's injury prone and lower in the lineup. And I just don't like Seager at all. So
I just don't know how much Philly is going to push the stolen bases. Who are we just talking about?
Well, Kapler's gone. So I think there's a much better opportunity for them to steal.
I hope it's the case because he only had 10 last year. And he hadn't had 20, I mean, ever. He had never had it except, you know, he played, 45 games in 2012. Otherwise, he had never had less than 20. And last year, it just went completely away. And he's going to have multi-position eligibility. He's not going to play shortstop. He's going to be the backup. He's vying for second or third. And I don't know if the Phillies know where Kingery's going to go either. So those guys are just moving around. Yeah, I mean, I'm into him. I mean, the guys at the top, like, I'm burying a little bit Paul DeJong and Amed Rosario. And both of those guys, for different reasons, have their value. You know, we were talking about Rosario versus Elvis Andrus, and I was kind of telling you it's like it's not necessarily close to me, though I could see where people could, you know, run with that off of Rosario's second half. And Paul DeJong is like a really cheap power shortstop. But what happens with me, and this is a little relative to my ranks. I know, DeJong's great, but here's what happens with me, and it's a little relative to the ranks and maybe how I value the players, is I'm not going to be having these guys. Like, I'm going to have a high, I don't care if this is 15 or 16, man. I'm going to have a top 13 shortstop, and then I'm probably going to come back again early and have them be my middle infielder. Now, it's not going to always work out like that.
Well,
but
that's smart. That's the smart way to do that, because second base can get to be such a wasteland at one point.
Rosario, I mean, you have Rosario at 18 and DeJong at 19. Rosario and DeJong do play the parts of guys that, you know, if you missed out on power or you missed out on speed, you bump those guys up. Like, I'm giving relative value. I'd rather have Didi Gregorius. I think he's a better hitter. I think he's a better, more complete player. I would rather have him. I got Scott Kingery above. I think there's more upside with him versus both of those players. But if I'm deficient, significantly deficient in either category, I would move those guys up and speculate on speed for Rosario or power for DeJong. Do you have anybody else in this range? Why do you hate Jorge Polanco? Can I ask you that?
I don't really hate Jorge Polanco.
22.
But yes, I do have him at 22 because I feel like
average 17.
Last year with his 22 bombs, I think a lot of that was due to the ball. And I don't really believe in his power. So after power, he's going to be runs and batting average, and that's pretty much it. I mean, I think he stole 4 bases last year. I don't think he's going to be very high in that category either. So if the ball is relegated back to, you know, the playoff ball, I think he's going to come back down to, like, you know, somewhere between 10 to 13 homers and still a high batting average, a 300 batting average. That's fine. But I just don't really believe in his power. So not in on Polanco.
All right. 20 to 11. Let's say 20 to 21. Let's not do that. Let's go 20 to 11.
For me, it's Didi Gregorius at 20, then Paul DeJong at 19, Amed Rosario at 18, followed by Danny Santana, Elvis Andrus at 16, Tim Anderson at 15, Carlos Correa at 14, 13 is Bo Bichette, 12 is Marcus Semien, and 11 is Javier Baez.
At 20, I've got Scott Kingery, 19, Danny Santana, Elvis Andrus is at 18, followed by Corey Seager, Jorge Polanco, Tim Anderson at 15, Marcus Semien at 14, Carlos Correa, Bo Bichette, and Manny Machado at 11. So, I mean, listen to the names we're dropping in the teens. You know, we start getting into the double digits, Manny Machado's, Bo Bichette's. I think that first and foremost tells you how deep the position is. Though there are, you know, well, there's not really. There's a couple players in the top 10 that qualify at other spots, but not really that, like, VR is one that you would move, like we just talked about him at second base. You would rather him be a second baseman, so you could pair those right out. But so we've talked about a lot of these guys. Andrus is a player that I think there's a justifiable swing between Andrus being where I have him to you where you have him. Like, I'm going to take Tim Anderson way over, even if you don't believe in the batting title type of stuff with him, power speed combo. But after Tim Anderson, you want a more complete player. Polanco fits that, underrated. Corey Seager, big offensive upside if you still believe in the talent, which you do not. If you're deficient in stolen bases, this is where you want to take Elvis Andrus. And this is why this is kind of a tier. Like, I've got, this would be yes. 1, 2, 3. It's like the fourth tier. Tim Anderson, Polanco, Seager, and Andrus. That is tier 4 of shortstop for me. And all of those guys are kind of different needs.
Yeah, and that's, you know, where the most important thing in drafting is roster construction. You know, if you need those swipes, then Elvis Andrus is going to be more important to you than, you know, Jorge Polanco, way more. If you're lacking in batting average, oh, you're going to want Polanco.
And that's why I think the tier is important. It's important to consider the all of the, like, I have Santana down to DeJong as like a tier. And that's why you have to be kind of like introspective about what you need. So it's not about like, well, why do you have DeJong at 24 and Danny Santana at 19? Well, they're all the same tier, and I think they're close, and they all fit different needs. The same thing applies for Anderson to Andrus. And I think we don't start picking apart differences until we get up into the Marcus Semien, Carlos Correa range and up. These are just tiered out middle infielders or desperation shortstops if you've missed the run. Which, by the way, if you miss the run at shortstop, it's the best year that you can get away with it. Like, sure, maybe you don't have Mondesi or Baez, okay, but to get Tim Anderson to fill in, imagine trying to fill in second base at the same time you're trying to fill in Tim Anderson. It just doesn't work quite like that.
Phrasing.
What? What did I say?
You're trying to fill in Tim Anderson.
Oh,
all right. All kinds of phrasing going on here. Can you get the Carlos Correa out of your system, please? Because I can't do it.
I cannot get that out. I mean, he...
No, I mean, can you talk him up so I can look at Instagram or something while you're doing it?
That's mean.
He's just always hurt. He's always hurt. He's talking all the smack. He's going to be the most thrown at guy in this lineup.
Yeah, he really needed to shut his mouth.
Yeah, so, like, I mean, are you with me on maybe lowering him a little bit just simply out of that?
No,
he's hurt all the time, and he's going to get drilled.
No,
he
he's
got
too
hurt
cheap.
During a massage.
He's too cheap. Well, yeah, quote-unquote massage, right? He's too cheap. He's way too cheap this year. I won't be able to relent for it. I expect to have Correa. The only way I don't have Correa will be because I invested in Tatis earlier, and I need to fill other spots, or I got, you know, whoever else, somebody else. That'll be the only reason. I think Carlos Correa is going to end up as a middle infielder on a lot of my teams. I believe in his bat. Projection systems are relatively with me. Again, care not for that. He's projected right now with the fifth most homers of any of the shortstop, the absolute most RBIs. This is according to Steamer, at least, of any of them. He's in the 90-run category in 270s, but it's all contingent on him playing. So at pick 90 to 100, to take a player with that type of upside, and sure, he might get hurt and fall off, I will do it all day, every single day. I don't think there's another position where you can find maybe the last qualified player that has as much upside. Do you know what I mean? Like, you're not going to find the number 12 first baseman or 13th first baseman or second baseman. Outfielder doesn't count because there's so many of them. But I don't think you're going to find that high end of a upside of a player at that spot than you will with Carlos Correa. So I'm going to invest in it. And I kind of feel similar about Marcus Semien. Like he, you know, Semien, a lot of people don't believe in what he did last year, but he just comes cheap. Correa comes. They're just too cheap to ignore on the big power upside.
Yeah. And look, I have to thank you for falling on that grenade for me, because Carlos Correa is almost too cheap this year to not want to at least take a flyer on. I don't want to take a flyer on him, but I've seen him drop so many times. I'm like, well, you know, if Welsh lets him fall one more round, I need to take him. This is dumb. So I'm glad that you're in the leagues with me. I just like, I get anxious for you because you're going to have so much Carlos Correa.
It's
when he gets hurt 25 games into the year and misses 6 weeks, you're going to be so mad. And it's going to put so many of your teams into a, really behind the mark because
I think
you're going to own him like everywhere.
That's where you're missing. Sure, will I be mad? I'll be mad. But his cost, I don't think it's going to put me behind the mark. I really don't. At pick 90? I mean, sure, I'll be bummed, and it's going to be something that's going to be, you know, it's always tough to replace, but I think it's a calculated risk. I'm more adverse to risk than I have been in the past, but he's just one of those. Like it's the same thing as Stanton. Like, I find it hilarious that you give me this crap about Carlos Correa, and then in the second round, you're like, can I take Stanton yet? It is. There's no difference between these two guys. There might be the same type. I mean, Stanton's 50 home run potential. They're not the same categorically type of thing. But Carlos Correa sits at the top of his position, and he just hasn't stayed healthy. There's also been fluky stuff, just like Stanton. He's literally the Giancarlo Stanton of shortstop, yet he doesn't get the pass, and Stanton does.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I don't think that Stanton is getting the pass for most people.
No,
I
for you. I'm talking about you.
Oh, for me? Yeah, he does. Well, because Stanton, the 2 years before last year, played 150 games both years. Carlos Correa has done it one time in his career, ever. So that's the thing is, I think that, Stanton, while he has had injuries, I don't know that he's injury prone. He might be. You know, if he gets hurt again this year,
he's
I'll
all
be
the
done.
Injury
trust
terms.
Trust me, I'll be done with him. If he screws me again this year, I'm out. But Carlos Correa, I just like he played 153 games in 2016, and he hasn't eclipsed over 110 since then.
Well,
so,
I mean, Giancarlo Stanton has been in the big since 2010, and he's played 150 games three times.
Yeah, three times.
Since 2010.
Okay. Well,
Carlos Correa has been in since 2015.
He's done it one time.
Okay.
So,
I mean, he could still pace out.
Can we not have this goddamn argument again? We do this every single time. I'm in on Stanton. You're in on Correa. It's fine.
Well, like, it's totally okay to be in on the guy. I'm just making a point. You sit here and you rag on Correa with his injury, this, that, and the other thing. And then you're just like, but Giancarlo Stanton, though. And they are the exact same situation. It's just maybe
I don't think they're the exact same situation either, because I think Stanton has more potential.
Let's
Stanton
do a Correa Stanton games played bet this year.
Well, I'm down.
All right.
Let's do it.
Well, let's somebody remind us about that, and we'll put that bet down. I don't know. We'll put the bet down.
How about a tattoo?
Never.
I'll bet a tattoo.
How about a really shitty tattoo on your left shoulder?
Yeah.
That you have to cover up when you hit a home run, a game winning home run.
Fine, let's do that.
Yeah.
How about a bad quote you have to cover up with a Carlos Correa tattoo? How about that?
How about one of their faces on our neck?
How about just on our forehead? How about that?
I like that. Let's just tattoo their face on our face.
Yeah. You know what? The point is, Carlos Correa blows and no one should draft him.
Okay.
Let Welsh take him in every draft. I'm moving him down to 35 among shortstops. Sick of this. Sick of this goddamn Carlos
Nick
Correa.
Nick Ahmed or Carlos Correa?
Nick Ahmed.
I saw
all
Nick
day,
Ahmed
every day,
today,
100%. Nick Ahmed will play 120 games, and he'll have 40 more than Carlos Correa.
Oh, yeah. We're going to have a fun bet here. Again, there's a lot to start picking out of here. Bo Bichette is, I don't know, there's still that sophomore thing with him. I think people, the stolen base thing is, I have a hard time relating with the stolen base thing. You check this out, dude, on projections. Steamer, 22 homers with 24 stolen bases, 92 runs and a .275 batting average. That's Steamer. Go over to the bat, 19 homers with 17 stolen bases, a .278 batting average, under at 70 RBIs and 84 runs. There is not a consensus on the power, and there is not a consensus on the stolen bases, as Zips and depth charts are at 28 stolen bases. Steamer's at 24, but ATC and the batter at 17. I am more in the ATC camp of 22 and 17 with a mid .270s batting average. But Bichette might be hitting in the middle of the lineup, you know, two or three with, I think Vladdy's going to be hitting cleanup for this team. So I'm cool with Bichette. I don't think I'm going to be ultra aggressive with him because he's sandwiched between Correa and Semien. And, you know, like I like the Machado bounce back this year. So I actually kind of don't think I'm going to own a bunch of shares of Bichette this year.
Yeah, I don't think so either. You know, I like Bichette a lot, but I don't think I'll own him because he's just like, I have Semien just ahead of him. And I think I'm going to stick with Semien and Baez and the guys of that tier. I think there's a big drop off after him, after Semien. And I'm usually not willing to take the top guys in the next tier, you know? So for me, that would be Bo Bichette, Correa, those two, and then moving down, I would much rather take like a Tim Anderson or an
what Elvis two guys Andrus. From 11 to 20, what do you think you're most likely to own here?
Andrus 100%.
Andrus? Just, yeah, you and I seem to be fighting for Andrus.
I've always been an Elvis Andrus guy. He's 30 stolen bases late in the draft. If you haven't filled that spot in, and shortstop's fairly deep, so other people have filled in their starting shortstop the most time before drafting Andrus. So he just comes at a deal this year. So I like him, and I'm probably Tim Anderson too. I do like Tim Anderson. I like the power speed combo that he put up last year. Don't think he's going to, you know, win the batting title again. And also he won the batting title and it was like the lowest in 50 yeah. years or something.
Yeah. He like
hit
just
335. Right. So, I think I like both these guys because they're just being discounted this year.
Yeah, I mean, this is tough because in this range, like, I think it's probably Machado and Correa. You know, I mean, I really, it's such a weird year where, like, when you look at the draft position stuff, Machado's going around 64, Correa's going around 106. I legitimately could have Correa as my third baseman, and I'm sorry, Machado as my third baseman, and Correa as my shortstop this year. There's a bunch of big power potential. If I were to do that, I'd probably want to make sure, you know, maybe I actually might later take Andrus in the middle infield for the stolen bases, but I'd have to get my stolen bases somewhere else. So where I'm likely to have Correa and Machado might be a team that I'm rostering, you know, big power first baseman, one big power outfielder, but I also got like, you know, Robles and Laureano, you know, to get the speed, that type of thing.
I gotcha. Yeah, I mean, speed is a big play here. But you can find a shortstop that will fit your team pretty much in any tier this year, and that's why it's so deep.
Yeah. Top 10. You go. Top 10, 10 to 1.
Number 10, Manny Machado. Number 9, John VR. Number 8, Alberto Mondesi.
Mondesi.
Bogarts, Gleyber Torres, Fernando Tatis Jr., Trevor Story, Trey Turner, Francisco Lindor, and Alex Bregman.
I have got John VR at 10, Javier Baez at 9, Alberto Mondesi at 8, Gleyber Torres, Xander Bogarts, Fernando Tatis Jr. at 5. I've got Trevor Story at 4, Bregman at 3, Turner at 2, and Lindor at 1. So we have a completely different top 3, which is kind of odd. I'm surprised you have Bregman above Lindor and Story. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, I mean, I still think Bregman's just really good. Like, I mean, know
there's no doubt he is a great player.
Right, right. And so, like, Trey Turner, I'm legit worried about him moving to 3 and losing some stolen bases.
Really?
So, yeah, I am a little bit. So, I don't think he's going to lose all of his value. Obviously, I still have him at 3, and I still have him very high overall. So, I don't think he's going to lose all of his value.
Let me ask you something. Would you be happy? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. If he let's say he had his 90 runs, he had 96 last year. Let's cut him down to 90. And let's say his RBIs go up to 75. He had 57 last year.
Okay.
Let's say he has, you know, 22 homers, you know, a couple more, and he has 35 stolen bases. Is that...
That's amazing.
Okay. Is that more or less value?
He has how many stolen bases?
35. He has 35 stolen bases.
Well, he had 35 bases last year.
Well, that's what I'm getting at. But that's what I'm getting at here. But he did it. He had 35 stolen bases in 120 games. So give him a full season at 150.
But the extrapolating doesn't work.
I'm not extrapolating, though. I'm saying I'm giving you the benefit to say, all right, he is now batting 3. Maybe he has a little bit less attempts. So now add 30 games, add no more steals. So he's at 35. It'd be fair to say if he were to play 30 more games, he's going to get more steals. So I'm saying let's average out 150 games, 35 steals, 20 homers, 90-something runs, and 75 RBIs. That's a top 10 player. That's no doubt top 10 player.
And I think I have him. Let me see where I have him on the overall. Because I've never really been a Turner guy.
No, you always hate him.
I have him at 7. I have.
Where do you have? Where the hell do you have Bregman?
You know what? I screwed up. I didn't move Bregman down on my overall. I have him below both those guys. So I actually go Lindor, Turner, and Bregman as well.
Oh, okay. So
I
you're
forgot
with me.
To move him down on my overall. Yes, or on my position rank.
That's what I was trying to figure out. I'm like, where the who the so where the hell do you have Bregman?
Lindor, Turner, and Bregman three. Yeah, you're right. You're right. That's my bad. I forgot that I moved him down. And to be honest, I moved Bregman down. Number one, because Lindor and Turner get stolen bases,
absolutely.
But also because I'm actually worried about these guys getting beamed and having missing games because they got. I mean, you know, all these dudes are going to have to look like Craig Biggio in the box with his armor. You know, they're going to have to.
Wouldn't
have
that be awesome if they started wearing like catcher gear? Wouldn't that be awesome?
I mean, I don't think it's out of the question. I mean, they're already trying to adjust rules so these guys don't get drilled all the time. So, I still don't think I'm that into Turner as much as you are. It's just so many at-bats he's going to be taking with two guys out, and he's going to get on base with two men out already so many times. I think it really lowers his stolen base potential. Now, they might not keep this the whole year. They may not. They may decide, you know what, Robles isn't working at leadoff. Let's put Turner back up there and move somebody else to the three hole. Overall, I am concerned about Turner. I don't like him nearly as much as you do, but I still have him middle of the first round.
I love Lindor and Turner. They're just complete combination guys. Story and Tatis are kind of both the same. I have like a weird bias to Story like you do with Turner, where I'm always just like, nah, I don't know. You know, I don't know if I fully believe it. Where like I kind of want to like invest in Tatis over Story this year. Because I'm a full real believer. I'm a real believer in Fernando Tatis Jr. Like, I know there's a lot of people that don't. They think it's bull crap. You know, he's going to have a hard road ahead of him. Come down at least statistically. I think he could be a 30-30 guy this year. I think he's going to run. I think he's going to hit. He's a table setter. I want to have Tatis Jr. in leagues, and I think I'm going to have some investment on it. And he's going to be the reason why I probably am going to have less, shares of Correa than you think. Because if I get Tatis Jr. or if I have a pick to get Lindor, I'm going to jump on both of those.
Yeah, but you're still going to take Kershaw as your MI. I mean, or Kershaw, Correa as your MI. So I'm thinking of all the guys I hate. So
just all the guys that I like that you hate, you're like Correa bias.
I actually don't. I think I actually have Kershaw maybe even higher than you this
you
year.
You hate Baez. You have him at 11.
I don't. You know what? It's not even that I don't like Baez. It's that shortstop is so good. I just really like Machado. That's the difference. Is I really like Machado. I think everybody else is better than Baez.
You know what I find myself doing, dude? I find myself having less interest in the power, not speed guys like Bogarts, Torres, Baez. They're good hitters. They get RBIs, they get runs, they get 30 plus homers.
Some swipes.
Yeah, he had some.
He had 11 last year.
Yeah, he had some. But like, I find myself a little bit off of those guys and wanting full investment on Lindor, Turner, Story, Tatis Jr. That is like the pure stuff and things, power speed guys. That's where I would love my investment to be. And if I don't get Tatis or Turner or Lindor, I'll start to stare at Mondesi. He usually goes before me. And then that's when I sit back and I wait on, the Machados and the Correas, and then I have to make sure that I'm getting my stolen bases in other places. Luckily, that all happens early so I can, I can pivot.
You know, what's funny is you look at the numbers, and I know there's obviously a track record and pedigree difference and all that stuff, but look at the numbers between Baez and Semien last year, right?
Like statistically?
Yeah. Just look at what they put up in a 5x5. No, well, I have it right here. I can tell you. It's between both of them, it's 285 to 281, Semien. 123 runs to 89, Semien. I mean, obviously, that's not going to happen again. Yeah. Semien also played all 162, Baez 138, so we got to live with that. 33 homers for Semien to 29 for Baez. 85 for Baez to 92 RBI for Semien. 10 swipes to 11 in Baez's favor. So the one thing that Baez wins here is stolen bases by one, and they're going 60 spots different.
Yeah, I mean,
that's why I'm just not willing to invest in Javier Baez at all, because I probably won't get Baez numbers by taking Semien, but if I can get 90% to 85% of that 60 picks later, give me Semien over Baez all day.
Yeah, I think what you just did is you set up a fantastic case for Semien, and that's why I like the back end. This is another one of those, what the hell position was it? First or third or whatever? Maybe it was third last time. This is another one of those where it's like a sandwich, and apparently I just want the carbohydrates. I just want the buns. Give me the top bun or the bottom bun, and if I have to, you know, pay that 30 to 40 price on like Torres and Bogarts, I just rather not. Like, I know I can get – now you have to be cognizant because you're going to be pissed when you miss out on Semien or Correa or Bichette, or, you know, if you have your sights only on Semien, then you do know you're going to have to probably pay a round higher than anybody else to assure that you get him because you made that choice. But shortstop is a fantastically deep position that has more power speed guys than any of the infield positions. Outfield is obviously where that's at. But you have a real possibility of being able to build, even if you don't get Trey Turner, you can build a team of power speed combos if you do it right at shortstop and maybe second base with your outfield. You get a 4 or 5 guys if you were able to get, you know, Tatis, and maybe you got VR at second base, and you know, later you could get Tim Anderson, and then in your outfield you can get a couple of the power speed guys, maybe Robles and Oscar Mercado. And then you've all of a sudden got like 5 different guys that could steal 20-plus bases and hit 20 homers. Like, that's a recipe for winning this year, and shortstop plays a really big role in that.
And that's all about roster construction. I mean, you know, we can talk about our rankings all day long, but roster construction is where the real, the real thing builds here, and that's kind of why we talk about why we make these episodes. Is yes, we talk about our ranks, but you also need to hear our explanation on where we're ranking these guys and why.
Yeah,
so,
I mean, this is built to be a talk. Like, we could sit here and we could talk about like every single piece of conversation can be like, look at their splits, and you know, look at their home run to fly ball they had in this month, and we could do all of that. But I think it's better to just, you know, you get to rawly hear our brains, where we are ranked. We can compare against. We can talk about roster construction, and we'll give you numerically the number and some of our thought process behind it. I think that's super helpful. And you know, you could obviously go lots of different places if you want like a full breakdown of specific players. And guess what? We also did that on our Player Debates podcast. So if you guys haven't listened to that, we did some really awesome Player Debates podcasts that have some of these players in there. I don't even remember fully what they all were, but I know a majority of these shortstops, the top 15, they might all kind of have a place in there between Bregman. I think Tatis might have been Tatis versus Story. There's some really good ones in there, so you guys should check that out.
You got to reflect, my top 15 now does not include Correa because I'm moving him down to 35. So you put Anderson and Andrus in there, just so we make sure. That's all.
So, friendos, if you guys want to see the ranks plus the new additions on March 1st, I mean, I'm not trying to say don't sign up now. Of course, sign up now. Support your boys. We have some new ranks up, but March 1st, not only will we have another update that whatever changes between right now and, you know, the next couple, 5, 6, 7 days, whatever it is, that'll be posted up. But we're also going to have the tiers, so you're going to be able to physically see the tiers of the shortstops, which I think is an invaluable piece. And I'm going to, you know, put some markers next to players. Most like, I'll put it probably on positionally as well, just so you know, like, where a player significantly has a boost or a negative. Like, Mondesi, in really any point, like, points formats is just going to go down. They just, unless you have altered your points formats to be really positive about shortstops, like, he kind of takes a plummeting. Like, Turner doesn't take too crazy of a plummet. He goes down a little bit, but Mondesi's going to go down a little bit. You know, I think Correa and Machado, even in a points, could pop up a little bit. You know, Roto, you're a guy like Lindor is as valuable as possible. But Roto, player like, you know, Marcus Semien or Jorge Polanco can go up. Correa, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, all those injury-prone guys, Stan Correa, all those guys bump up a little bit in a Roto format too, because it doesn't matter when you get the numbers, as long as you're getting the numbers.
But I'm going to just make some little markers, like, here's an OBP guy, here's a down or up points guy. So that'll be some cool little additions over on the ranks if you want to check that out. That'll be available March 1st, but there's already some updates that are up there. So patreon.com/ITL Army. Tomorrow, the third episode in Hell Week, outfield. That's a big one. It is a big one. We're not going to be
breaking. I doubt it'll be as long as this show, though. I mean, for some reason... We found a way to go well over an hour and a half again.
We're already 3 hours into Hell Week, and it's only been 2 shows.
Right, right.
Jesus,
so,
man.
Yeah, look forward to outfielders tomorrow.
Also, I have a teaser. I have a teaser. Now, I know there's a lot of people that are going to tune themselves out for Friday because Friday is the catchers and relief pitchers. I know that's not exciting, but I have a surprise that I'm going. I have a surprise. Let me make sure
it's better than Christian Walker falling on his face.
It is. It's even better than Christian Walker's story falling on his face. I have a surprise for Bogman that I'm going to let everybody know.
Have nothing to do with the channel cast.
So. No, well, I mean, you're going to have to tune in. I have a surprise that I'm going to let Bogman know on that episode. And it is, it's pretty great. So you're going to want to tune in. That'll be on the Friday episode for relief pitchers and catchers. So there's a little tease for you because you guys are going to tune into the starting pitcher and the outfielders and all of these, no doubt. But you might be like, oh, I'll sit that one out. Don't sit that one out. There's going to be a very, if you like our humor and you like our style, it's going to be a funny thing that you guys are going to get to check out. So there's a little bit of a tease. But outfielders tomorrow, Hell Week moves on. ITL Hustle is in full effect. That is Bogman. I am Welsh. We are out of here. Later.
Saw ya.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.